dialing 8th and Walton conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton conference call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
It is great to have you back with us for another podcast. My name is Jared Davis. I really do appreciate you downloading the 8th and Walton conference call, taking a few minutes to play with us each week. I know it's August. I know it is a busy time because we're in the middle of back to school. We've got holiday right around the corner. I don't know if you're a supplier or maybe you're in some other facet of the retail world or somewhere else in business, but here's one thing that I do know about you. I bet you're a lot like me. In the course of your day, do you ever hit one meeting and you just sit down at that table and look at the meeting organizer and just say, can we just sit here for a minute? Can we just take, you ever have those days where you just get somewhere and you just need that mental oasis? I'm going to talk to you more about that here in just a couple of minutes, but I want to tell you about today's show. Ed and Luciana Hanley are a dad-daughter entrepreneur team, and they have an air fort. Remember when you were a kid? I know I did this, and I did this with my kids as well. And you would build forts in the living room. You remember, you know, you'd go get the comforter and you'd rearrange the furniture, and some people in the house would get driven crazy by this, but it was a lot of fun. Well, Ed and Luciana have developed the air forts. As a matter of fact, if you go to the podcast description, I've got a link to their website. They're going to join us by phone, and they've got some great advice for suppliers and entrepreneurs who are trying to bring a product to market, some of the growing pains they went through. It's going to be a fantastic interview, and I can't wait to speak to them here in just a few. And then, Emma, what else do we have coming up on today's show? Oh, yeah, Lainey Peterson. We're going to check in with our friend Lainey Peterson, who's in the Walmart News Now newsroom, find out what's happening in the retail world coming up in the next week. Be sure and save Walmart News Now as one of your favorites. Not just Walmart News, but it's news all over the retail industry. So we will check in with Ms. Peterson coming up a little later in the podcast. However, before we get into any of that, and you and I have been friends long enough, I feel like I can bend your ear a little bit. I have had the worst week, even more than that, like 10 days of just bad experiences with meetings. And, you know, I know meetings are a necessary part of what you and I do, no matter what business we're in. It's a great way to communicate, much better than email. The face-to-face is better. But I have been stood up for two meetings. I was invited to a meeting I had no business being part of. And then I got invited to a couple of meetings with no agenda, so you just walk in not knowing what to expect. Anytime these terrible things happen to me, I always think about you and how can we make your world a little bit better? So you know what? I went out and I did some research from some of the experts in business, and we found just a couple of tips that are going to make your meetings more productive and make you a better participant in the meetings. Okay, let's just start with number one. Oh, and this is one I was telling you I had problems with this week. Obtain a written agenda in advance of your meeting. If you really want results and you really want to be productive in that half hour, that hour meeting, let your attendees know what the expectation is, what needs to be covered so they can come prepared. Now, this next point is very essential. Review the meeting attendee list. The people in your meeting room, they are going to make or break your effectiveness. And if you've got a key person like a manager or an executive that is not present in that meeting that can actually make decisions and make approvals or denials, no significant decisions are going to be made and the meeting's going to be a wash. Here's the next thing to remember. How do you manage a meeting? Manage your meeting by the clock. Watching a clock is essential to an effective meeting because, you know, when nobody takes charge of actually managing the time, it's really easy to go down a rabbit hole and become unfocused. So remember, people at a meeting are there to be in that meeting and they're not doing anything else. Hopefully they're not doing anything else like playing Candy Crush under the table. So make the time count and manage by the clock. Now, to be honest, we've all been in meetings where we get off topic, but what we're talking about is important. And that's the next point. Use the parking lot to manage your off-topic discussions. You know what the parking lot is? Here's the way this works. At the beginning of your meeting, you explain that you expect everyone to focus their discussions on the agenda. Remember that agenda that you sent out before the meeting? And explain that you're going to be using the parking lot to help the meeting stay productive. So here's how this works. you keep with the meeting agenda and everything's going fine. You're going through each agenda item, but someone raises an interesting point and it doesn't really relate to the agenda. So you just say, hey, that's a great point. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put that in the parking lot and I'm going to include it in the meeting notes that I send out by email so we can explore that point at the right time. Bring it up at the next meeting. Parking lot, those good ideas that don't have to do with why you're in this particular meeting. Now, the next item that they bring up on this list is take notes for yourself. But honestly, at this point in your career, if you're sitting in a meeting and somebody gives you a direction and you don't write it down, you're probably not even listening to me right now, so there's no hope for you. I'm kidding, of course. I would never tell you there's no hope for you. As a matter of fact, this last one is the best, and here's the one that you can actually remember. The end of every meeting has to have some kind of a task list or go-dos and follow up on that list. If you leave a meeting and you've got no go-dos, no list, no things that someone needs to accomplish, you've just wasted an hour. And follow-up is absolutely vital. Here's a key to doing that. Make a note on your calendar or your task event device, whatever you kids are using nowadays, and continue following up until you've reached a resolution on each of the action items agreed upon from your meeting. These are going to make your meetings more productive and hopefully shorter in the long run. So once again, my hope for you is that the horrible week that I've had with meetings will now benefit you with some of the research we've been able to present and make your workday a little bit better. It is going to get a lot better right after the break because we're going to talk with Ed and Luciana Hanley about the Air Fort. Stick around. This is the 8th and Walton Conference Call.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
You're back on the 8th and Walton Conference Call. You know what? I've been looking forward to this next interview all week because, like I was telling you before, when I was a kid, I loved taking all the furniture in the living room, getting my mom and dad's comforter, and building a fort. I know you loved it too. Well, if Ed and Luciana Hanley had been around when I was a kid, they would have made things so much easier on my parents because they are the dad-daughter entrepreneur team that developed the Air Fort, and we're very lucky to have them on the phone right now. Hey guys, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Now, first of all, Ed, I've got a question for you. You've got a vast background in retail and manufacturing. So will you give us a little bit of your experience?
Yeah, I've got a little bit in retail. I was with Home Depot for a long time in store management. Then I was a merchant. When they opened up the first Home Depot Expo, I was one of the merchandising managers. Then later, after 8 million hours a day, I jumped ship and went to work for, I ran a manufacturing company in San Diego that manufactured point of purchase visual merchandising displays for Gap, Restoration Hardware. Back when Washington Mutual Bank was around, we'd sell the window vinyls and that kind of stuff. So I've seen both sides.
And then on top of all that, the father of three daughters, and like all your kids, I'm sure they love building forts out of furniture. So Luciana, here's the question for you. Were you the most creative daughter when it came to the building of the furniture forts?
I think so. I mean, when we were little, I was always the little instigator, like which couches, you know, which couch cushions would work, you know, which sheets and blankets and pillows. And my sisters were always the ones that like, oh no, mom is going to come home and freak out. And so that's when my dad was like, okay, guys, I've got this idea that I've had since I was a little boy. I'm going to try sewing you guys one. And he sewed our very first Air Fort and it was the biggest hit ever. And from then on, we never built one more messy furniture fort.
Okay. So for people who may not be familiar, tell us how the Air Fort works.
The Air Fort is just a big piece of fabric that attaches to any ordinary household fan, especially a 20-inch box fan, and just blows up. There's no floor. You just lift any part of the edge and slide on in.
And when when the kids are done with the fort, you simply unvelcro it from your fan and it stuffs into a bag that's smaller than the size of a folded pair of jeans. So it's, you know, takes up no storage space, which parents love.
I love the whole entrepreneur story. So since you guys have been through the whole, the creative, the manufacturing, the distribution process, we have so many people who are listening right now who, you know, may have this idea, want to bring their product to market. What's some of the biggest advice that you can give an aspiring entrepreneur?
Well, our philosophy from the beginning was if it's not fun, we got to fix it and make it fun. But we knew we'd run into a lot of challenges, which we did.
It'll always get better when one thing goes bad. You just have to keep pushing and trying to fix it.
Yeah, you can't let anything stop you. We could have stopped, you know, when it comes to toy testing or finding the right manufacturer. You know, you can't introduce a fan into a kid's toy. And we got all kinds of barricades.
You can't let it stop you. It's the people that let, you know, these kinds of things stop them that, you know, don't succeed.
You touched on this with that answer, but what was that testing process like when you developed this and you went out to get feedback? Was it just amazing?
As far as testing the actual product with kids, that was amazing. Kids, you know, the reaction we got from kids, they would, you know, freak out. It was, we knew right then and there, we're like, okay, we've got something.
When it comes to testing with consumer safety division, we ended up having to hire a consultant because navigating those waters on your own, very, very difficult because you really want to do it right because it is a kid's toy and you want it to be safe. And so we hired a guy, super, really helpful. He helped us navigate those terrible waters. And the chair of a couple of the ASDMs actually got involved because they really liked the product and wanted it to find its way to the market. And helped us sort of redesign some of the features so that it passed some of the ASTMs. It was very helpful, and it made us feel a lot more comfortable that we had a product that was safe.
And I'm going to put a link to your website in the description of the podcast, but anybody can go to airfort.com. They can see a video. They can even make a purchase. Where else is Airfort available right now?
It's also available on Amazon.com, as well as Fat Brain Toys on their website, as well as in their store. And Seahorses PDX, which is a little boutique toy store in Oregon. You know, we never really wanted to go into a lot of little stores. It just wasn't what we had, you know, in our plan. But we developed such a great relationship with them that we really wanted to work with them.
And I know one thing with any entrepreneur is, you know, the creative juices are always going. What's coming up for Airfort in the next year or two? What's kind of in the works?
Well, a couple things we're working on for this year. Hopefully, fingers crossed before Christmas, a couple new colors for sure. And we have a couple of new fun design ideas, which I don't know if we can talk about or not, but a couple of our ideas are being able to connect one fort to another fort. So say, you know, you go to a buddy's house, you got your two Air Force, you can actually connect them. Oh, so you can create these rooms within rooms.
Another thing we're doing is we're working with a manufacturer of a projector that's a short focal length, like 3 feet. And we've got a prototype right now that you can hook it to your iPhone, your iPad, or even your Amazon Fire.
Yep.
And watch movies. And this little projector, it's about the size of your fist, and it projects onto the inside fabric of the airfort.
So you almost got like a little drive-in movie right there inside the airfort.
Yeah, a little drive-in movie theater.
It's really neat.
This is so much fun. Ed and Luciana, I wish you guys a lot of luck. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Are you a new supplier thinking of doing business with Walmart? Or have you just acquired the Walmart account and have questions about processes? Ethan Walton has a class tailored for suppliers new to doing business with Walmart. The Walmart Fundamentals class is the onboarding experience you need before going into that first meeting. Through Walmart Fundamentals, you'll learn the basics about Walmart, such as the supplier agreement, merchant roles, department numbers, Walmart terminology, and much more. We'll also cover the everyday expectations from retail math to using Excel efficiently. To find out about classes in Northwest Arkansas or the next national webinar, visit AthanWalton.com and search for Retail Fundamentals in the course descriptions.
You're back on the Ethan Walton Conference Call. It is time to find out what is going on in retail news. And to do that, we're going to go to the Walmart News Now newsroom and talk with my friend, Ms. Lainey Peterson. Lainey, it's great to speak to you again.
It is awesome to talk with you. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, you know what? We were talking a little bit earlier, and for people who haven't yet saved Walmart News Now as one of their favorites, what sets Walmart News Now apart from other sites where they may be getting some retail news?
Well, one of the things that I do, I try to put up the most timely news possible. So I am checking every evening, every morning for new stories that are coming up, not only in the mainstream sites like Washington Post or Wall Street Journal, but also in niche sites and blogs where you're going to get a different analysis, oftentimes more directed towards supplier professionals than you are from just general news sources.
And one thing we want to point out is it's not necessarily just Walmart news. We're getting flavor from all across retail.
Absolutely. You know, there's disruption happening everywhere. So I am going to be looking at Walmart competitors, but I'm also going to be looking at the industries themselves. There's, you know, huge changes all across the board in just about every category that's being sold right now. So definitely I'm going to be looking at stuff that is not Walmart specific, but that is industry specific and also cultural changes as well.
All right. That's outstanding. Okay. So what do we have on tap for this week? What's cooking there in the kitchen?
Well, good thing that you brought that up, because what's going on this week are a lot of interesting food and grocery stories.
Mm.
First of all, a recent study from the Food Marketing Institute showed that 23% of millennials are buying their produce at supercenters. That's their primary channel for buying produce. This is in comparison with baby boomers. Only 12% of baby boomers are going to supercenters for their fresh fruits and vegetables.
Where are the baby boomers getting their fresh fruits?
It looks like they're traditional supermarkets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, 66% of baby boomers are going to traditional supermarkets. That is in comparison with the 59% of millennials. That is an enormous difference. So if you are a produce supplier and, you know, look at this emerging market with the millennials, if you want to keep that revenue going, people are interested in produce and working with fresh fruits and vegetables, be talking to your Walmart buyer on this. And about, you know, increasing your presence. The other thing is, though, let's say you are a seasoning supplier.
Okay.
Or you're selling things that could go along with fresh produce. Again, look at marketing opportunities at supercenters, at the big box stores for, you know, selling your products alongside those fresh fruits and vegetables, because that's where the millennials are buying.
I want to ask you this, Lainey, because as much as you follow this and kind of follow the online trends and the different generational gaps, is fresh produce going to be one of the last holdouts for brick and mortar because people do want to see and pick their own food?
Well, I think that it is, to a certain extent, people do like that. People are going to farmers markets. So when you're looking at people who are living in areas, college towns and major urban centers, you get a whole lot of farmers markets there. So that's still going to be of interest. But I think it is to a degree. On the other hand, and this is where things can get very interesting, shopping online for fresh is increasing. We're looking at any number of companies that are offering delivery of fresh produce, and that kind of segues into another very interesting story that we found in drugstore news regarding the fact that people with specialized diets are shopping a lot more online because it's a lot easier to search, to do filters on searches and finding exactly the products that you need are looking for. Well, if you've got a setup now, an omni-channel setup, where you have the ability to shop online for all of your groceries and the full assortment is now being available online, it may be that for people who are trying to cater to special diet segments, that you are going to have people who will maybe forego a trip to the supermarket because they know if they go to that online retailer who can deliver fresh groceries within an hour or two, they can get all of their dietary needs met at once without having to relabel to the store.
So we're talking about things like organic and gluten-free and things like that?
Organic, gluten-free, low-carb, possibly religious diets, all kinds of things that people have special health needs. If they can search and filter and do a one-stop shopping situation online, don't discount that. Even though people do like to take out their fresh produce, don't discount the power of omnichannel in this area, too.
Wow. A lot of food in the news. Okay, so what else are you keeping your eye on in the next week?
Well, we're also keeping our eye on is looking at ongoing disruptions in retail in general. We're looking at some major department stores who are really, really struggling at this time. And this is just kind of an ongoing thing that's been happening. What I would say for suppliers is keep your eye on this and also be aware you cannot rest on your laurels with one particular retailer. If you've got a major retailer that's been your primary channel, you've got to back off from that a bit.
Yep, that is outstanding advice. Lainey Peterson in the Walmart News Now newsroom. As always, thank you so much for the update, ma'am.
All right, take care of yourself.
Oh, man. That's going to wrap it up for another 8th and Walton Conference Call podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. This is Jared Davis reminding you, it is about 4 months until Christmas. But if you're a Walmart supplier, I'm almost sure phase one of the holiday set starts in like 2 weeks.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at 8thandwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands, are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.